someone, I'm not trying to be offensive with this, but someone leaned over to me and said, this is just like what happens at the Catholic Church. or most of the churches I grew up in, let's just be real, right? Come on, it is good. I think the Lord loves it when we dance and sing. And if we really believe that if we are thankful people, would we not just become a little bit more undignified? And don't be like David, be taking your clothes off. That's inappropriate. But I just love that. Man, y'all are out of breath too. Good gosh, I've been at camp all week eating a bunch of stuff that I don't normally eat and about to bust out of this floral garden I'm wearing right up here. But I was told that it hides stuff, so we'll see. Be distracted. Wow, hallelujah. We need a Selah moment for about 10 minutes so I can catch my breath. In through the nose, out through the mouth, so I was told. Hallelujah. Isn't it good, though? Come on. Come on, man. Father's Day is here, and guys, thanks for being here this morning, and or maybe wives, thanks for dragging your husbands here today, but we're glad that you guys are here today. Listen, it's Father's Day. How many of you guys, by round of applause, have already received like a Father's Day gift? Come on, round, a couple of you, you have? Yeah, any neckties? Anybody necktie? Necktie dads? Necktie? Dress sock dads? Anybody? Traeger dads? Traeger grills? Ladies, just want to let you know, I know that we normally get about 10 minutes for this thing called Father's Day, but Home Depot's open all day today until about 9 o'clock, so if you that Traeger grill, just let the Holy Spirit speak in this moment. Traeger grill is Hebrew for the kitchen of heaven, is what it is. Hallelujah. Well, hey, I want to give you guys a gift today, and hopefully this will help you out and bless you just as you've received all those handmade cards from kids and churros or whatever you've received today. You know, there's a lot made in our culture today about what number are you and what's your wing? Or what are your letters or your color scheme on a Myers-Briggs or Enneagram and what have you and all that. So I love that kind of stuff, and I know what mine is and what my wing is and all that stuff. I know what all the letters are after my name, ADHD. I love that. And come on, am I talking to anybody this morning? Hallelujah. We have special churros for people like us back there. I'm gifted. I can think about things a lot at a time. But anyway, where was I going? I forgot already. The altitude? Something. Anyway, it's hot. So much is made about what is a person like, and we have all these assessments now about color schemes and numbers and grids and charts and profiles. I'm reading a book called Scaling Leadership, and I assessed myself last week, and the results said little hope on it. So that's okay. I'm somebody special. My mom always reminds me of that. I want to help you out today. I want to keep it really simple. This is Father's Day. It's Father's Day. We'll keep it simple. Here's what I've learned recently, that you can really tell what a man is like by what happens around a campfire. Oh yeah. And I want to describe not nine or different color schemes or letters. I want to give you three types of guys you find around a campfire. And you just see where men, where you might fall on this scientific thing that I'm about to do. I don't even know what it's called, but it's awesome. And or women, you might be able to determine who you're married to. Kids, you might determine, yeah, that's my dad. You're talking about my dad. For instance, around the campfire, you're going to find a guy like this. The sit there, just sit around the fire guy. Not going to do anything, right? He just sits there and he takes it in. He might love the snap, crackle, and pop of the fire. He might love the smokiness of a fire, but he's just going to sit there and watch. Maybe, you know, throw back a beverage of choice. You know what kind of guy you are. But he's just going to sit there and just really do nothing. The second type of guy you find around a campfire is the lighter fluid guy. This guy's born with like a pyro gene, okay? I mean, he just The bigger the better. I mean, it's like the great Chicago fire when this guy's around there. He's squirting stuff on it to make it just flame. He thinks the bigger the better. You know, trees are being burnt. The eyebrows on his neighbors are singed off. I mean, this is like Nebuchadnezzar type, fired up. You know what I'm saying? And he's not content. I mean, he's just constant. And then when he's finished, he giggles a little bit and he's gonna pass it off to a buddy because he wants his buddies also to enjoy the thrill of that moment, correct? And then there's the other guy he's the good fire guy. And this is a guy that knows. I mean, he shows up wearing one of these on his back. You know, he just kind of like, I'm here and I got this, you know? He knows how to build it. He knows how to cultivate a good fire. And these good fire guys, that you don't find them sitting around it very much, do you? I mean, they have stockpiled enough wood prior to building the fire to build an ark, okay? But in the process of the experience, they're always out harvesting more, are they not? They just know that how to build one, and they got to cultivate it, keep the fire burning, and, you know, all that good stuff. I love that because, you know, I think within those three, we find a description of most men in this room. But it's not just a description, I think, about us as men, but I also think those same three descriptions describe how we view our marriage, or how we view our parenting, or how we view our homes. Today, guys, I'm gonna talk to you. We don't do things like this at Mother's Day because I don't wanna offend the women, because I live with three. And I just know what it's like when you say stuff. So, but I'm not afraid of you guys. And so today we wanna talk to me. But what I've already been encouraged was that, hey, that was so helpful for me today, even where I'm at. You know, I think one of those three descriptions of a man around a fire is also how we approach this thing called our marriage or our parenting, our home. There are some of us, when we view our marriages and when we view our homes, we're like the sit around guy and we just do nothing. We're just gonna sit there and enjoy it. You know, I work hard for a living. We've got a roof over our heads, lights on, food on the table, and Family Feud on TV, right? And so we can watch that. And that's, but I'm not really gonna do anything. And, you know, the wife is running around. She's like, you know, June Cleaver and doing everything, you know, and just making it happen and whatever. There's the second type of guy, that lighter fluid guy. That's the type of guy in his marriage and his, you just live moment to moment. You're looking for that next big event. Maybe we turn it on and we do the right things when it comes to her birthday or our anniversary, right? But we live moment to moment. The problem with that is that we miss those other 364 days between moment to moment in which, well, we could be doing things much like that number three guy, the good campfire guy, the cultivator, the guy that's really gonna work, the guy that's gonna do whatever it takes to build a home, to build a marriage, to build a family. He's willing to put in the work. He's not afraid to pick it up and to sling it and chop and build something that's gonna be healthy. We're in this series this summer called Mi Familia. For you gringos, that means my family. And we're talking about things that will help your family become better, healthier, stronger, safer, right? And so last week, Pastor Danny Phillips talked on forgiveness. Come on, somebody, had a good word, right? I was, Angie and I were watching. I said, baby, he is preaching at you right now. Come on, somebody. That was awesome. And by the way, didn't you love, like, Ellie and Tobin were in that, and Lindsay? I mean, I told Pastor Dan, I said, you did good, but your girls were off the charts, bro. They're phenomenal. Danny, you're a blessed man. You know that, right? You know that. So, but we're talking about things that will strengthen your family and build healthy marriages and homes. And our Next Gen team has that. If you've not picked up one of our Family Devo books, please do so today, and things that you can do in your homes to really foster what we're talking about here on Sunday mornings. But, you know, we've received gifts and we're trying to determine who guys are. Guys, I want to let you know that there's a gift that I believe that we have within us as men that we can give to our families. And by the way, I started with that 2 weeks ago, that God's got a plan for your family. And it's not just to, if you're fruitful and multiply, to raise a kid till he's 18 and push him out the door to college or to a career or whatever. That's not what that plan is. Man, the plan for your family is not for you just to punch a clock and earn a good living to feed them and to provide for them. And although that's important, that's a good thing. There's more. God has a plan for your family. God wants to use your family to advance his kingdom. And so that's more than just punching a clock and working. That's more than just, you know, raising kids and getting them out the door. No, there's more for your home and for your family than those things. So that's what we're talking about. Today, I want to give you another one of those things. And I want to talk about your marriage. And I want to talk about how you parent and what you do at home. You see, I believe the greatest gift, men, that you can give your kids is to love your wife. Now, listen, some of you say, man, that's real great. Why did I even show up here? I should have gone to the Methodist church today because, you know, I'm not married. And say, can I just tell you something? When I say that God's got a plan for your family, that's for a family of one. Listen, there's no biblical requirement that you have to get married. You know, that's a necessity. I know that in our culture, sometimes we say that oh gosh, I'm so sorry for you, you know. No, even you as a family of one are significant. And God's got great plans that he wants to accomplish in you and through you. Are you with me there? But I believe that one of the greatest things for those of us that have a wife and kids, the greatest gifts that we can give our family is to love their wives. And when I talk about it, I'm talking about putting Christ at the center of your relationship with your spouse. What? No one ever told me that in the premarital counseling thing. You know, I just wanted to get married and, you know, no, I'm telling you, when you put Christ at the center of your relationship, this thing called marriage that, by the way, God created it. He did. And when you keep him center of it, your marriage is going to be stronger. Your kids are going to be watching and seeing how you love their mom, and they're going to be, your home is just going to be a better place to live in. Am I talking to anybody right now? Come on. How do we keep Christ at the center? I'm glad you asked that because the Bible gives us some instruction. I want to read it first from the New Living Translation before they throw the Message translation. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, you need to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Does that make sense to you? If not, look what it says here in the Message translation. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. It was a love marked by giving, not getting. Now listen, guys, if there's anything that I want you to hear, listen, I want to encourage us, if you're married, to go all out with love towards your wife. You know what it looks like to go all out. If World War III breaks out, I know some names of you in this room. I'm running to your house because you've got like an arsenal. So some countries around the globe, they're going to be running to your house because you've got more than they do to protect, defend, and guard, right? You know what it means to go all out. Some of you go all out when it comes to that deer lease, that fishing boat. You go all out when it comes to, I'm going to be the best softball player. Is that even the thing anymore? It's like kickball, something. You're going to go all out in the business world. I want to be the best of the best. I want to be, you know what it means to go out. Can you begin to get a picture of what it might look like if you were to begin to go all out in love towards your wife? All out means all out. That means I'm giving everything. And as if we didn't get a clear understanding, can we go back to that verse real quick? Paul, he lays it out for us. Says, listen, it looks like it's about giving, not getting. It's sacrificing. It's placing her and her needs above yours. I know none of us would struggle with that, do we? It's just a problem back in the words of this passage were written. We all struggle with that. Love your wives as Christ loves the church. sounds good, but can I just tell you that's impossible until you first understand how God loves you. And until you come to that place of understanding how God loves you, you will never be able to love your partner, the person next to you, the way that he's described for us here. What do you know about the love of God? Think about that. What do you know about the love of God? What comes to your mind when you think about how God has loved you? Unconditionally, right? It's not about what I do in order for God to love me. God's just love and he just loves, right? That verse said it's self-sacrificing, right? That means he pays the price. He's willing to lay down his life for us. And I think God's love's never ending, is it? It just never runs out. Claire's saying that it never runs out. That never runs out. God's love for us is patient, is it not? Oh, come on. How many of you could use a little bit more patience in the home, huh? Your relationship with your spouse. As Pastor Danny preached last night, it's forgiving, is it not? Come on, aren't you thankful that God forgives us? Come on, somebody. Anybody in need of that today? Man. Listen, it's impossible for love the person next to us until we first fall under this reality and get a good grasp of how much God loves us. And it's interesting to me that this same love that God demonstrates to us and the way that he loves the church and how we're to spread the love, it's the same way that we're to demonstrate those types of qualities even within people within this body, within our family, not just our spiritual family, but in our earthly family as well. God loves us. And by the way, if you're here today and you've never experienced the love that God has for you, then I pray that somehow before you leave here today, you would give one of us an opportunity to unpack that for you. He loves you. In fact, he did the very thing that we're encouraging you to do. He gave his life for you. And he forgives all of our junk and our funk. And he calls us one of his own, a son, a daughter, a saint? Are you kidding me? Would that be a word that your parents probably used to describe you growing up? Oh, there's my little saint. No, they probably, there's my little devil, that banshee. You know, just, right? But God sees us differently. And I hope that you've experienced the love of Jesus. But it's not just our love for our spouse, but when we love the right way, when we make him the center and the focus, it begins to influence others around us. Hey, ladies, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you love a man to love you just in the way that I just described? Self-sacrificing, about giving, not getting, unconditional, never-ending, patient type of love, a forgiving type of love. I mean, who would not want that? If you say, that's not what I'm after, you're jacked up. We all long for that. We all want that type of love in our spouse. And as we begin to love like that, check this out. This thing called marriage in the Bible is to be a reflection of God's love for the church. And the same qualities and attributes that we demonstrate to our spouse and to our kids are the same things that we should be demonstrating to a world around us as well. That person cut me off. I love the Next Door Neighbor app. I love that reading. To the person that was speeding down Scenic Loop, don't you know that there are bicyclists and deers on the road early in the morning and you pass not one but two? And I just love that. I love it. You know what it makes me feel like? We're not as screwed up as some of our neighbors. That's what I think about when I read that. You know, we're okay. But anyway, I look to see if I find your names on the comments. I love that. A troll creeper dude. But anyway, where was I going? Yeah, it's attractive to people when we love. I love in Malachi, the Old Testament, old school, Malachi chapter 2 says, God, not you, made marriage. And his spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. Hey, listen, if you're struggling in your marriage today, can I encourage you with something? Hey, get in the Bible. Oh, you're a pastor. You're supposed to say it. No, it's true, though. He wrote it. He created it. He writes about it. He's got some incredible insight and encouragement for you, right? He made marriage, not you, not Oprah, not some marriage conference guru you've gone to, right? God made it. Let's see what he says about it. And what does he want for marriage? He wants children of God. That's what he wants. And I love this next part. So guard your spirit, guard the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. Is that clear? Do I need to unpack that? Do I need to pull out the Greek and Hebrew and all that with that? Right? Don't cheat on your spouse. Some translations say, love the wife of your youths. Love the wife of your youth. It's a great example there. God created this thing. And here's the deal. When I invite him, the creator of it, into it, I'm just telling you, what he created just seems to work better. Now, it's not perfect. Anybody got a perfect marriage? No. Even Ruth and Billy Graham, I think, probably struggled in the course of their relationship over the course of time, right? None of us are perfect. But yet, when we invite the Spirit of Christ into our home, the one who created it, it not only strengthens the husband and wife relationship, but it strengthens the relationship with those that are watching us as well. And oh, by the way, dads, your kids are watching you. They're watching how you do that very thing that I said at the very beginning, how you love their mama. What are you putting on display there? I have two daughters, and I always wanted my girls to see in my love towards my wife, Angie, I wanted them to see something that they would want one day. I modeled for my daughters. We would go on daddy-daughter dates, and I would buy things to give them, and I would sit, yes, at Maggiano's over long conversations and just let them listen and look interested, right? But just look, just make eye contact with them, guys. It really goes a long way. But I wanted them to know, I wanted them to see in me how I love their mom. I wanted to model that for them. Dad's no pressure here, but if you have kids, they're watching you. And what are you putting on display? I know we got a lot of single people in the room today. You ought to be looking for a spouse, a mate that models Jesus or what you want. In fact, I love what Paul would write in Philippians. Says, keep putting into practice all the things that you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. This idea of modeling, because you're passing on things to them. You're passing off. You're not just teaching about it, you're not just speaking about it, but you're modeling it, right? And you want them to possess that as well. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now listen, Paul's not saying I'm the example. It's not an arrogant statement he's making. You need to realize that when Paul wrote these words, that the gospels were not recorded. These Corinthians were new believers and they had little knowledge or understanding as to who Jesus was. And so for them, if they wanted to understand what it meant to be a Christ follower, they need to attach their gaze and focus on someone else who was a Christ follower so they could see what a life in Jesus was all about. Can I just tell you something? That's you, Dad, in your home. Your wife is looking. Your kids are looking, your neighbors are watching, your kids' friends are watching, teachers are watching, people are just watching you. Who are you imitating? Who are you modeling? What do they see? Are you leading well? Proverbs 22, Solomon would say, direct your children onto the right path. Direct them. Listen, do your kids ever make decisions against your will? Come on, anybody? I sat with a group of dads. We had dad school this week, and I sat with a group of dads, and there's, man, my kids are just, I can't get him to do this, and he won't do that, and man, he's breaking my heart, and he's selfish and doesn't trust me. I'm like, how's your kid? Well, he's 4. I'm like, bro, come on, bro. You kidding me? I think they're like 16, 18, or 39 or something. 4-year-old. We were walking out yesterday, and one kid was in his pajamas. He's sitting there, and he's going, Daddy, I pooped. What do you do with that? Well, I know what you do with that, but for some of us, listen, your kids are still going to make some choices that aren't yours. You will always be a parent. The scripture says to direct your children onto the right path. They're going to screw up. Didn't you? Come on, any male screw-ups in the house today? Raise your hand. The altar is open for confession. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Dads, listen. God knows that we're not going to be perfect. Women, you need to understand that about us men too. We make mistakes. We do. We drop the ball. And listen, for some of you men right now, you feel maybe like a failure when it comes to loving your spouse, or you've already blown it in a marriage or the second one or whatever. You've blown it with kids. You've got kids that are prodigals. Listen, God understands and knows that. And I wish that somehow we could go back and rewind the tape of your life and push the delete button or change the outcome. There's a movie about that, Danny. What was that movie? Thank you. About where you could like alter the events or what have you. But the reality is we can't go back and undo what's been done. But what we can do today is this. I can choose this day that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, John. We're gonna serve the Lord. That today is the day that I'm gonna choose to change the course of trajectory when it comes to loving my wife and when it comes to modeling for my kids. Hey man, can I just remind you of something? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. We can't go back and undo and erase, but we can start anew today. Finish strong and finish well. What are you passing on to your kids? What do your kids know about you, Dad? Hey, do they, my dad's there for me. My dad's present. That's one of the things I heard in dad school. Dads, just be present. Show up at your kids' swim meets and their tennis tournaments. Show up at those band concerts. Show up at whatever. Just be present. Presence preaches. Presence preaches. And I guarantee you, a kid knows when you're present. There could be an arena full of people and they hear your voice in the bleachers. And Pedro, they're going to look up and make eye contact and find you. Your presence preaches. What are you passing on to your kids? I love this story of David Williams. He played for the Houston Oilers. Y'all remember them? It's like 1993. Houston Oilers, number one. You remember that? Yeah. In 1993, there was a football player by the name of David Williams, played for the Houston Oilers. And David Williams made a decision one day. He skipped a game against the New England Patriots. And in skipping that football game, he forfeited his paycheck of $111,111. That's what he made for each game. I know some of y'all make that in 30 minutes. That's okay. Just tithe to the church on that, please. But anyway, David Williams gave up a game check against the New England Patriots. You know why? Because his wife was pregnant with the birth of their first son. He missed the game to be in the hospital to watch his boy be born. You think David Williams regretted that decision? Can you think his family regretted that decision? I mean, do you think 25 years later that this son's sitting around a class reunion and they're talking about their dads and what they remember most about this? Do you think that son of David Williams said, you know, my dad was the knucklehead? I don't think that's what he would say. You know what I think he probably said? Can I tell you what my dad did for me? He gave up a check to be present. Wow. Men, what are you modeling? How are you leading? In fact, I just want to do this real quick. Ezra's here and it's time for us to go, but I want to encourage you with something. There's a book that I read years ago. It's a book by Pastor Andy Stanley entitled When Work and Family Collide. It's a redo. The original title of this book was called Choosing to Cheat. The reality is the majority of us men spend our lives in one of two environments, at work and at home, right? And I know you're like me. We want to succeed. We want to be great in both of those arenas, do we not? We want people at work to know they can count on us, depend upon us, that we're contributors, that we want to advance the goal of the company. We want that. But, you know, there's also a family in our home that needs us as well. They need our very best. The problem is both can't get your best. Only one can. And like David Williams did in 1993, dads, you're going to have to choose Who gets your best? What do you do when work and family collide? Who is going to win out there? Now, remember what I just said earlier. It's not how you start. That's how you finish. So I want to encourage you. It's a real short book. That's why I picked it for us. Easy words to read. I like that too. But these are available in a Restore today. And you can take one of these, pick it up and take it home with you and read it. And just let the Holy Spirit of God have his way in your life. Your family is your greatest earthly ministry, men. Will you go all out for it? You know, for some of us, not only must we build a healthy home, but for some of us, there might be some things in our lives that, yeah, the ER, our safety team are like freaking out right now. Come on, come at me. Some of us are going to have to slay some things in our lives in order for us to be who God's called us to be. Some of us are going to lay aside some things and just get rid of it, cut it off. It's hindering us. It's keeping you from being the man to the husband to your wife that you're called to be. It's keeping you from being that dad and that figure. So for some of us, it might be time just to wage war and a battle. And it is a battle, is it not, guys? Every day you need to wake up. In fact, men, you need to be the first one up every morning in your home. And you need to be in the Word of God. And you need to be on your knees in prayer. Because this thing called male leadership, godly leadership, spiritual leadership, it is a responsibility that God has placed on us as men. And it's hard. It's difficult. We can't do this without Him. We need to be warriors. We need to fight for our family. Just as we're going to cultivate and we're going to build. It's a bad idea to sit on the front row today, wasn't it? We're going to cultivate and we're going to build and do the work. We're also going to fight, are we not, for our families. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Would you stand with me? Ministry team, will you come join me down front today? We're going to stand down front today and pray and receive you and encourage you with whatever you're facing. But I want you to know that it's a battle. In fact, God, I want to pray for every family here in this room and those that are watching us online right now. Pray for every man, God, that we would rise up and be the leader that you've called us to be. God, that we would not pass off this privilege of loving our spouse to anyone else. May we satisfy her in all aspects of her life. And God, may we not look to others and may we not pass off this incredible privilege of parenting. It's hard. They're crazy. They're frustrating. But God, we're reminded that with you, all things are possible. So God, we're going to look to you to love our wives just as Christ loves the church. Lord, we're going to look to you to emulate and model and imitate. We want to imitate you, Jesus, so that our kids get a clear picture as to who you are and the difference you make in someone's life. God, we choose this day. Hey, if you're near your husband or your dad, would you just lay your hands on him right now? And I want to ask somebody in the family just to begin to pray words over dad. Just pray over him right now. Come on. I'm going to keep talking, but yeah, come on. He's not perfect. He's flawed and he's broken. I'm telling you, it's hard to be a man in our culture today. So many of us are carrying around wounds from a father. We didn't have good examples maybe, and some of us had great examples, but we bring all that, the pressures of life, the pressures of trying to juggle and balance things. It's hard. Come on, right now, would you just bless, would you pray over, would you just affirm that man in your life? He needs to hear that. And I joke about a boat. I joke about a Traeger grill. I joke about all those things. Those things are great, but I'm telling you most what every man watching and in this room wants to hear most from their family. They want to hear encouragement. They want to hear affirmation. They want to know when they do it right and do it well. They want to know that you're with them and that you love them and that you appreciate them. So just breathe that. Breathe those words of life into them now. Lord, today as we leave here, I know that there are some hurts and wounds represented in this room, and I pray that those individuals would know that our prayer team stands ready today to come alongside, encourage, and step into the mess. Lord, maybe for the individual in this room today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day of humbling themselves, acknowledging that they can't do this, that they need a supernatural working God to step into their lives, to forgive them of their failures, to bow their knee and humble themselves and say, Jesus, would you come in and be Lord and Savior of my life? Father, as we leave this place today, we go in the authority and the power, in the name that is above every other name, Jesus. And we know that if God is for us, who can be against us? We go in Jesus' name. Amen.